play something?
No.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome. We'd like to thank you for coming and worshiping with us here at Jenkins this morning. I see several visiting faces. My family's here for one. My brother James, he's been here before, and his wife Beth, and my little brother Josh, and my dad Paul. I guess his name's Paul. But my family's here. Renaissance is here. You'll hear them speak later. Are there any other guests this morning? Hi. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here with us. You're staying for second service? Michael's staying for second service, so we're all blessed.
The Sumlers and Ms. Wallace blames parents and grandmother.
Welcome. Are there any announcements this morning? I have a couple with youth in the bulletin. If you check the announcements, especially the middle school students, we're trying to get some things going for the middle schoolers, so if you would take note in those. I will be gone to Columbia. I leave Wednesday, and I'm going to be gone for 10 days. And so in the bulletin it says contact me, but I may not get back to you right away. So are there any other announcements?
Next Sunday, one service, 9 o'clock, brunch to follow. Next Sunday, the 31st, a fifth Sunday, one service, 9 o'clock, brunch to follow. Some will be here early, and so you can hang around and help prepare breakfast. If you get here late, we'll stay and eat lunch with us. But one service, 9 o'clock, brunch to follow. Also, on the 7th, on the 4th of February, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church will be 200 years old. On the 7th, Sunday afternoon, Columbia Presbytery is having a celebration of sorts. It'll be a short celebration with some refreshments. We know that we have to compete with Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to try to be through. I hate, from my vantage point, for the church to kind of rush up for Super Bowl, but that's the way life is, and we know it is, and what do you do? We're going to meet at 3 o'clock at the Columbia Church. We'll have addresses available that Sunday. 3 o'clock at the Columbia Church. We will sing some old songs, We got a licentiate in the presbytery who is going to preach. He's taken a course in church history and got so excited. He called me up one day and started telling me everything he had learned. I said, "Man, you need to preach." So I got to plan the service or help plan it for that day. So I urged that he be the preacher. So he's not an ordained minister, but he's got a message for us. We're going to sing some old songs. We hope to remember those who founded us back 200 years ago and before then, and then look forward to the future. I believe that's it for announcements.
I'd like to welcome Hogman. He's been through some tough times, and we're glad to see him back. His house has caught on fire, and he's in the process of getting that all back together, so we're glad you're here.
After service today, there is a soup luncheon to benefit the Grace Team, which is a missions ministry of this church. We did this last year, and it was real successful. Nancy's made some good soup, some white bean and ham, and some turkey noodle. And it's good. I had some last night. The Grace Team has really been blessed with people to donate through us. And we have taken 9 groups to work on Hogar, Samaria. Patrick will probably get to tour that facility when he's down there next week. And we have also been able to, through our efforts, help to contribute over $30,000 to that project. So we feel like our efforts have been fruitful for the Lord, and we continue to be blessed. And there's soup. If you want soup today, just come on back there and eat. And there's a donation box. There's no charge. But if you feel like making a donation, just stick that in there. The soup's paid for. The funny thing about going to the store to get stuff, you know, that you have to pay for it. They won't let you have it. So everything's all paid for, and if you want to make a donation, that's fine. But soup's there. Come back and join us.
Also, you'll hear the Renaissance Southern Gospel Quartet in a bit, but they will also have a long concert at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Following soup luncheon, we will have a concert 2 o'clock right here in this place. And you will be blessed at this service, but doubly or triply blessed at that experience also.
Are there any more announcements? Are there any prayer requests or praise reports?
Carol Simpson's brother had emergency bypass surgery yesterday in Peoria, Illinois. Talked to Carol last night, and she was on the way. So lift up, I don't know the brother's name, but lift up Carol Simpson's brother. Pete Bottom's mother passed away last week, and her name was Leslie Kidd, and she had been sick for a while and had been here with the Bottoms family for a while. Also, we were reminded this morning that a former post person that worked in the post office, Miss Frances Purdom, passed away, and her funeral is this afternoon. She'll be buried, the funeral here, Sherry, here in the neighborhood at Waller, at the other one. Concord Grandview Baptist. What time is that service? But lift up Mr. Purdom, the son, and there's grandchildren, so lift them up. Two sons, and we remember her from the post office. She's been retired 10 years maybe, but some of us remember her. Kathy Duncan's mother is seriously sick. She came home from the hospital and came home from therapy and fell and broke her neck or a vertebra in her neck, and very seriously sick, and so lift her up. Linda has one, and then Debbie probably has one. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just going to ask that you keep me and the 15 other guys that are going to Columbia in your prayers. Most of them are from Kentucky. Most of them have never left Kentucky, and most of them have never been on an airplane. So going to Columbia in South America will be exciting for them.
Patrick and I went a couple of weeks ago so that I could show them some slides and stuff, and I told them that I thought most of them would get back.
They're pretty nervous, so just keep us in your prayers, and hope they get through customs and everything. Are there any others? Mr. Bennett?
Young friend of mine who needs to know the Lord.
Okay. And we want to express appreciation for Mr. Bennett and his wife. They housed the Renaissance group last night, so thank you. If there are no more, let's take this time for silent prayer and welcoming Jesus into our presence. Please stand and join with me in our call to worship this morning. It is found in your bulletin. God's glory is pouring forth from the heavens.
Earth below receives the good news with great joy.
The promise is sure and true that Jesus has come to show us the best ways to serve God.
By serving and caring for others, we truly serve God.
Come, let us prepare ourselves for joyful service.
Let us make ready for great service in your name.
Amen.
Let's turn now in our hymnals to hymn 66. To God be the glory.
Praise the Lord, let
the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let's bow together and pray. Lord God, we come to offer praise and adoration to You. We come with thanksgiving, Lord, for the blessings that You have poured out upon us. And Lord, we just thank You for a time that we can gather away from the cares of the world and come into Your near presence with like-thinking people and offer blessings and praise to You and be blessed by Your Word, Your Spirit, the fellowship of friends. Today, special music, Lord, and we just rejoice that we know You and You are our Savior and our God through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just praise You, and we offer ourselves to You in the name of Jesus, now coming to pray as He taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our call to confession this morning: let us draw near by faith to the One who has first come to us, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. If you'll join with me in the prayer of confession, it is in unison. O God, You create us for relationship, and yet we are isolated from one another and separated from You. We confess that our self-sufficiency leads to loneliness, and our self-improvement leads to exhaustion. Anoint us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Connect us to the one body, the church, and to the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, who comes to set the captives free. Amen. My friends, hear the good news. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is the gift of God, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast. In the name of Jesus Christ and through His gracious life, death, and resurrection, we are forgiven. Amen.
It's been kind of our custom when we send a person on a missionary journey that we have special prayer for them, ask God's blessings upon them. It's not just our custom, it's a biblical tradition. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas started out, the church gathered and asked God's blessings upon them. Patrick is going to Colombia, South America, Wednesday, and we want to take this time to offer our prayers for him. Come down to the front of the church here, if you will, Patrick. Sam, if you will gather with me, having made many trips himself. Lord God, You are the giver of every good gift, every good thing. You are the one who directs us, and it is in Your name that we go to be witnesses. And Lord, some of us do it with our hands, some of us do it by speaking, some through music, and Lord, some by just their presence. Patrick is going to use his hands, and we pray Your blessing upon him. Bind him together with these from Covenant Presbytery. And Father, we pray for Jeff as he leads the group. We pray for the Colombians as they receive this group that's come in Your name to work on this camp. that it might be used better for sharing the gospel with young and old alike. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of participating in this work. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bethel College used to be, now it's Bethel University. And Bethel University Southern Gospel Quartet. Matthew Holt may tell us some things about them. We know a few things, and we don't want to steal their message, but we know that we're going to be blessed. We were here at 8 o'clock, some of us, and we were blessed, but we'll be equally blessed now. So they're going to give us a mini concert, we might say. It's our expression of faith this morning through music. Matthew.
There is a name of the Lord above. John. He is the newest member of the group. He is a brand new freshman there at Bethel, and we're happy to have him singing with the Renaissance Quartet. He is from Paris, Tennessee, and his name is Josh Morrow. Would you make him welcome? And we have a very special guest with us this morning. One of my best friends in the whole wide world. He is the director of the development of Bethel University and Capital Campaign fundraising efforts there at Bethel. And we want to invite him up to say a little bit on behalf of the president, all the higher ups, all the important people there at Bethel. This is Mike Park. Would you give him a hand?
It is always good to be at Jenkins. You are like family to Bethel in a lot of ways. I want to take a minute not to ask for anything, but to thank a few people today for some things. Alfred Bennett, you mean the world to Bethel University, and I hope you know that. You mean so much to us, you do so much for us, and we thank you for all of that. Larry, thank you. You always make us welcome. You invite us quite often, and we appreciate all you do and the way you represent the college. Patrick, you're a great representative of what we produce at Bethel, and we appreciate that. I also would like to mention Sam today. Sam has been a tremendous ambassador for your church and for Bethel University, but most of all, he has represented our Lord in a great way as the moderator of the General Assembly. And I want to thank him for what he has done over the past year. It's an exciting time to be at Bethel. We are now looking to prepare our campus to, in the next 5 years, be able to house and feed, entertain, and educate up to 2,500 students. That's a big jump from a few years ago when we had less than 500 on our campus. We will start a new dormitory in the next month that will provide us beds for about 246 more students. We will also have the groundbreaking on graduation day. Graduation is going to be big this year. We expect a record attendance. Roger, the drummer, has been working on his four-year degree for about 8 years now and will graduate. So all of those folks who have been waiting for 4 years will finally, hopefully,
possibly,
have the opportunity to see him graduate, along with Blaine, but Blaine has done his in the appropriate amount of time. I just want to thank you. This church means so much to us. You support us in so many ways. Continue to send your students. You send us great students, and I think Matthew may have something to say a little later on about a student that hopefully we're going to have with us from your church in the next year or so. Financially, continue to support us financially. Your gifts are greatly appreciated. We do our best to be good stewards of what you send us. Most of all, pray for us. Pray for our president. Pray for our faculty and our staff. Most of all, pray for our students, that God will change their lives while they spend some time with us at Bethel, and that we might help him to do that. I can't say thank you enough, but I will. Thank you so much for all that you did.
Yeah.
Cry, holy.
You guys will come back and join us at 2 this afternoon and hear more music. I started Bethel when Roger was a freshman or a senior in high school. We shouldn't give him such a hard time. Lots of people go to school for like 8 years. They're called doctors, but it's whatever. But my brother James and his wife Beth and I all started at Bethel at the same time, and I think there were only about 500 students full-time on campus, and now he said they're waiting for 2,500, and Renaissance didn't even exist, so they're doing great things there. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Will the ushers please come forward? I believe it's time for the children's message. Miss Andrea has a message for us. So if the children would like to come forward, and then there is children's church afterwards.
Good morning. Good to see you all. About a month ago, we had a new little dog come to our house, and you know, we adopted a new little dog, as if we needed another dog, but we've got another dog. And our other two little dogs were kind of having a hard time with that, you know, her coming being adopted into the family. But I have good news to report. After a little less than a month, she is fully holding her own, and she has become her own little dog, and she's jumped right in with the family dynamics, and everything is going great. And that made me start thinking about, you know, we've been seeing, I don't know if you all been seeing, but I'm sure you have, it's hard to miss, about all the children that need adopting in Haiti. And a lot of people are stepping forth and beginning to adopt those children and bring them over to the United States. And I thought about how, you know, we're all adopted. We are all adopted, or we can be adopted, and that's what our goal is to become adopted by our Lord and Savior. In James, it tells us, Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 4, just as the Lord chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So we're all adopted. Every one of us are adopted, and believers in Jesus Christ. And what we need to do is make sure that we're able to go out there and get us. You are my adopted brothers and sisters. Did you know that? You're my adopted brothers and sisters. I have a huge family here of brothers and sisters, and I am so blessed in that respect. And it's all because we have the same Father in heaven. And so let's make sure that as we go out into the world, that we're working each and every day to spread the good news, and the good news is about our Lord and Savior who died for us and rose again, and that we carry in our hearts each and every day, but we don't keep Him to ourselves, do we? We want to share Him with everybody that we come in contact with so they can be our adopted brothers and sisters as well. So let's go up and sing this. We'll be careful of all the, maybe we should be just.
Our scripture lesson this morning is going to be read by Michael Turco.
Our scripture lesson today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 24. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I know we have been blessed already twice over for myself, and we look forward to the concert at 2 o'clock. We understand we have numerous visitors coming, some from even pretty far away, some just because they are Cumberland Presbyterians and want to support the college and the ministry there, some because they are related to the musicians, and we are pleased to have them too. Pleased to have the Sommler family with us this morning, and I think they follow their son a great deal, and we affirm you in that. We're missing children this morning. We don't know what happened to our children. They are they ran off somewhere, but we're glad to have the ones that we did have. Two or three things that I would like to say. One is that there are 250 people in 250 plus in the Renaissance. I want to give a little promotion for that. The traveling group, they have a 50-person traveling group, and that's the group that's been here before. Also, they have a R&B quartet. Now, I'm having some trouble, and I think the Southern Gospel group is having some trouble understanding how you can have an R&B gospel quartet. I'm sure they figured that out, though. I enjoy sometime, maybe I shouldn't, but I enjoy at least the beat and some of the unique wording of some of the R&B music, but I have a little trouble seeing how they're going to get Christian words in there. But they'll have to figure that one out, and I'm sure they can. They also have a bluegrass quartet, and then this is a Southern Gospel quartet, and we are pleased that they were here. This group, these that were with us this morning and will be with us this afternoon, went to Louisville to the National Quartet Convention in September of 2009 and came away with the talent, winners of the talent competition. And I think one of the students should have already graduated, and they encouraged her, since they had won this, just to stay with them. So they gave her a job, and she's taking some more courses. That's Anna, and I think she said she had two bachelor's degrees already. So when you get in the quartet and get at Bethel, it's hard to leave sometime. And the other thing is that Nolan auditioned for this group and for the drummer. So their drummer is graduating, and he went and auditioned yesterday and toured the campus, and we don't know the answer to that yet. He may know it, but we're not sure of it. We have some speculations, and but it's a matter of prayer. So lift up Nolan, and They get to make a decision. He gets to make a decision. That's kind of the way it is. And so we encourage him in that and are thankful that they're with us today. Bethel College, I think, shaped my life in a positive way. I think it did Patrick's. I guess it did. James's. I've gone blank. Your wife's name, Jamie. Beth and Chelsea. And incidentally, the quartet, they sent through the sermon once, and they thought that was enough. And I told them, they did not have to stay in here two times, just once. Well, I didn't tell them they had to do once, but they were very respectful and everything. Where they've been. I thought a revelation or inspiration sometime after I prepared this sermon. I talked a few weeks ago about justification, and we had a message about justification for the children this morning, but we all got to hear it. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Also, justification, and a simple term is that is if we are justified through what Jesus has done for us, his life, death, and resurrection, we are justified through our faith in him. And it is just as if I had never sinned. And we talked about that 3 weeks ago, I think, and then last week, maybe 4 weeks ago. And then regeneration. Did talk about that last week. Regeneration. Another theological term that, what are you talking about? Dead in sin. And through Christ, the Holy Spirit touches us and makes us alive, moves in us and urges us to trust in Jesus as our Savior. That's the simplest term. So regeneration from death to new life, from spiritual death to spiritually living, the Spirit of God living in us, or the Holy Spirit living in us. And then Andrew talked about adoption. And then today I want to talk about sanctification, being sanctified or made holy. Sanctification, being sanctified, made holy. And I confess that I do not know all that I need to know about sanctification. And so why would I preach on it? Well, maybe you can help me. So maybe this would become a discussion. But sometime early this morning, I was praying over this matter. Yes, I work on my sermons, but I still pray on them. And I felt that God pointed out a passage that I needed to share. So we'll get to that in a bit. I don't know all that I need to know about sanctification or all that I want to know. And in my mind, and I believe in other people's mind, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And there's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of mystery about Jesus dying for our sins and us putting our faith in his death, and through his death our sins are forgiven when we put our faith in him, when we trust him and what he has done for us. And we said life, death, and resurrection. That's a mystery to that, is it not? But there is much disagreement in the, I call it the larger church, concerning sanctification. There's probably more disagreement on sanctification than anything else except baptism. Maybe. I don't know. But as you talk to people, people talk about sanctified holy. I think the passage that we printed said completely, but the King James Version says sanctified holy. Sanctified, did it say? Sanctified through and through. One version calls it sanctified completely. A person being sanctified, that's verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Or, that's where the title came from, or of this sermon. Or sanctify you completely, or sanctify you through and through, your whole being. Now, let me say this. on the outline that you have before you, there are three mistakes, at least I know, so I could correct them. And it was not the secretary's fault. It was my fault. The problem is they didn't check my typing or typewriting. And it's not their fault, because when I send it, they type it or they print it like I send it most of the time. And on about the fifth line down, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And on down where it says CP Confession of Faith says, it is a sanctification, not an S, so scratch the S off. And then the about five lines from the bottom, that which God, that should be a capital G, that which God sets. There should not be an apostrophe there. If you'll fix that, we'll be okay, I think. I believe on the screen, oh, we're not doing it on the screen this morning, so we did get it fixed. But anyhow, if I can say that. So, about sanctification, I'll say it really quick. The disagreement in the larger church is, some say that if you're sanctified, you have arrived at a point in your Christian life that you no longer sin. That you have attained holiness or without sin. And I thought that was true, so I called one preacher of a church that I thought taught that and found it out. And they said, yeah, we think you can get to the point so you don't even have the desire to sin. So that is one way of looking at sanctification, and one way of looking where the Christian can go to in this life. Now, we say, others say, and Cumberland Presbyterians being of the we, that in this life we can grow higher or grow better or more like Christ, but in this life we will never get to that point of without sin, living without sin. Now, I've known some saintly people in my life, but I have never known one who would even claim to be without sin. Have you ever known anybody? So that they say that's a possibility. They can get to a certain point, a certain level of spirituality that they don't sin anymore. Well, I think if they hung around me a while, I could pull sin out of them. Do something. It might be a minor sin, but I just don't believe you can get there. Now, our point where you say you can't ever attain perfection in this life, there's a danger there. Say, if we can't ever attain it, why strive for it? Well, some people say, well, I'll just give up. But others, I think, take a more sensible view, and we keep trying to be better and better, as good as we can be, but knowing that we will never attain perfection in this life. So our statement is, or my belief is, that believers never in this life achieve sinless perfection, but through the ministry of the Holy Spirit we can be progressively conformed to the image of Jesus. We're always working for that and hoping for it. We believe that sanctification is not attaining perfection in this life, but sanctification is being set apart from the rest of the world for service. And some are set apart for a special music ministry. Others are set apart. We talk about God calling ministers into the ministry and sets them apart. But all Christians are set apart to glorify God. And what I felt was a revelation or an inspiration was a passage in St. Luke chapter 18. Two people went down to the temple to pray. A Pharisee who thought he was so good, and a publican, or some versions call him a sinner who knew that he was a sinner and was lost in sin. when they went down. And here's what Jesus said about them. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican or a sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I think he marched up to the altar of God and stood there in the temple and raised his head and began to brag on himself before God. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners. I thank you that I'm not an extortioner. I haven't extorted from anybody. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not unjust like other people that I know out in the world. That's what he was saying. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not an adulterer, that I'm not like those adulterers. I thank you that I am not even like this poor publican who is standing here close to me. But if you read that passage, he says he went up by himself. He even stood off from the publican of the sinner. He didn't want to stand close to him, I guess. And he began to pray to God, God, I thank you that I'm such a good guy. That I'm such a good guy. And he goes on to say, Lord, I fast twice a week. Boy, I'm really good. And then I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, you ought to be proud of me. But then we hear Jesus is telling this parable now. He's telling us this experience. We hear what the publican says. The publican, standing afar off, he was a little hesitant. I'm not sure I need to approach the altar. I'm not sure that I should approach the altar, being a sinner as I am. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. You know, he couldn't look up. He was a little ashamed, I guess, before God. Would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did Jesus say about these two people? He said, the man, this publican, this confessing sinner, this man went down to his house justified. He went down, though he knew he was a sinner, he went away just as if he had never sinned. Because he claimed the mercy of God for his life. Nothing in his hands he brought. He just claimed the mercy of God rather than the other. He went down justified rather than the other. And then Jesus goes on to say, everyone who exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Anytime that we think we have attained, just know that we haven't. We haven't. Start patting ourselves on the back, and it's so easy to say, look at me. I'm so proud of myself. And when we get to that point, we get that proud, we're ready for a big fall. Sanctification. God setting us apart for service. It was asked of St. Francis of Assisi. Somebody walked by and saw him plying corn. And he said, St. Francis, or Francis, if you knew Jesus was returning today, what would you do? And he said, I think I'd just keep on plying this corn and finish the job that I've been sent to do. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you can use us in your service. Thank you, Lord, that you can call us from sin to salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you can place your hand upon us and make saints out of us. That you choose us, you set us apart. And thank you, Lord, that you so move in our life that we can respond in a positive way. saying, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me in any way that you would choose. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's stand together and sing 379. It's offering ourselves in service to God. Use us, O Lord. Take my life and let it be. Let's sing the first and the sixth verse.